All right. So we are in our new series that's called Understanding the One Story of Scripture. And it's week two. And it's entitled, this lesson has been entitled Understanding Christmas. And I'm saying it's part one. We'll see how far we get. Last week I was like, because Bobby and I got here late, and it was like, go, to me. I was saying, go, you got to get going on this. So I have more of a relaxed atmosphere about me today. And but we'll see where we get. But let's talk about the one story of Scripture. Last week, for those of you who weren't here, last week we began with Zechariah's benediction. Now, how many of you don't know who Zechariah is? Okay, that we'll admit it. Okay. You admit it, Pat?
I admit it.
Okay. Zechariah was the father of John the Immerser, John the Baptizer, all right? And he was a Levite. He was a priest, and he was serving the Lord in the temple. And who appeared to Zechariah?
Gabriel,
the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel had a message from God. Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, and Zechariah were praying for a son, were praying for a child. Elizabeth was barren, and they were well advanced in years. And so Gabriel was there at the temple beside Zechariah when he was burning incense on the altar in front of the veil. Gabriel said, you are going to have a son. And Gabriel proceeded to tell Zechariah a little bit about what the son would be like. He would go in the spirit and power of Elijah. Was like, whoa, because who was Elijah?
Great prophet,
and he was strong and he was courageous and he didn't take any grief. And so their son was going to be serving God in the spirit and power of Elijah. So then when Zechariah said, well, how do I know this is going to happen? That spelled to Gabriel that he was doubting. So he struck Zechariah mute, and he said, you're going to remain mute until this child is born. And he did, but when the child was born, Zechariah, his vocal cords came back, and he was able to proclaim a benediction. That here's my next question for all of you, especially those who were here last week. This benediction covered what? We read it last week. It's amazing. If you've never read it, it's Luke 1, 68 to 74, to 79. And what did that cover?
It's all about Jesus.
From the Abrahamic covenant all the way up to the millennial kingdom.
Yeah, it actually covered, this is why I taught this particular benediction, this passage last week, because I thought it was the best way to start off a study on the one story of Scripture, because that benediction goes from eternity past to eternity future. Everything that Zechariah thanked God for, he brought us from eternity past, like I just said, through the creation, the Abrahamic covenant, the Old Testament prophets, from the time the world began. He covered his time, his ministry. He covered Jesus' birth, Jesus' ministry, John's ministry. He covered the millennial kingdom, and he covered the eternal state. And that is eternity, going into eternity future. That's amazing. And it's all there. So when I read, and I don't know if you're aware of this, I mean, this is proof that the Bible is one story. Zechariah's benediction is proof that the Bible is one story, because we see the continual flow from Old Testament to New Testament. And having said that, from eternity past to eternity future. And it's proof that God doesn't change his mind. And as I was writing some of these things down yesterday or the day before, I thought, I don't know how many of you are aware that some Bible teachers believe and teach that certain, let me put it this way, entities and aspects in the Old Testament lose their significance once Jesus arrives. What we read is like, I'd like to talk to though, and you know, I read some books about different views on different theologies, and that's one of the views, the approaches to the Bible, that since Jesus came, everything is new, and there's a loss of some significance regarding the Old Testament. That's a tragedy, tragedy. And by many, Israel has been redefined from being an ethnic people group. Is that what you think about when you hear Israel, an ethnic people group? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They were a nation. God told Abraham, it's in Genesis 12:2, that he would make of him a great nation. And there were many other nations, too, and we see that throughout the whole Old Testament, the history of Israel. And that they were a people group, an ethnic people group. But then there's talk in some circles that they have become, Israel is no longer Israel, it's a spiritual community, and it's the church. What happened? What happened? God doesn't change his mind, and God promised Israel, we're going to look at that moving forward too, but through his unconditional, unilateral, one-sided covenants, he made promises to Israel that he's keeping. And if we think that he's not going to keep those promises to Israel, then I would say, if I'm having a conversation with somebody who carries that thought, I would say, whoa, who is your God? Because, you know, I believe that God is steadfast, faithful, true to his word. And if you think that he's reneged on his promises to Israel, what about his promises to us? Huge, huge question to ask if you get engaged in a conversation with somebody who believes this way. So, redefining who Israel is, they're not an ethnic people group, in your handout. And you know what, Bobby, can I get? Oh, I got one already. Okay, I want to see where I am at. Right in over the middle portion of page one, you see 1 Corinthians 10:32. And we're told, here's the New Testament. Jesus has come already. So we're told, give no offense. This is Paul writing, okay? Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just let that sink in. So we've got Jews, the Greeks would be the Gentiles, and then the church of God would be made up of Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus. So there's distinctions. There are distinctions laid out right there. So Israel continues to exist. Gentiles exist, and we've got the church made up of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. Okay. And then there are some who teach that the land of promise that we see God promising Israel, that land now equates to spiritual blessings for the church. I don't know how that happened. How did that happen? And then lastly, I mean, there's a lot more, but there are many who teach that King David's throne has transitioned from an earthly throne that we read about in the prophetic books, like it's going to be an earthly throne, it's going to be in Jerusalem. It's transitioned to a spiritual throne where Jesus is seated now. And then that's why we hear many times the kingdom of God, that we're in the kingdom of God now. No, we're not. Jesus isn't seated on King David's throne as yet. Where is he? Where is he right now? On the right hand of God. And he's our great high priest. I cannot remember the last time I heard a teaching or sermon on Jesus as our great high priest. Since I was in Bible college, and that's a long time ago, okay? So that's why we had a series on Jesus, our great high priest, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, going back a couple of years, because it's so important, so important. Okay, that's a lot of information that I've given you. Any questions before I want to read 2 Samuel 7, but any questions? Because this is important. This is important. Al.
Harry, we have beautiful moonrises around here. Plus, when you live close to Ganey like this is, and you're on the water and you look up and the reflection's on the lake, and that just reminds me of that God says, I'm taking care of Israel.
Yeah.
And I'll always take care of Israel.
Yep.
When the moon stops rising, we stop seeing a moon.
Right.
Then maybe I won't.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that in Jeremiah 31, 34 to 37. Yeah, yeah. If that happens, all those things are taken away, then Israel will no longer be my chosen people. So, and you know what? When I say my chosen people, God chose them. And as far as believers are concerned, Gentile believers, we're chosen. We're chosen. So, but there's not a conflict there because God chose Israel to accomplish his purposes. God chose Jewish and Gentile people in the church age to be believers and to give them salvation. When God chose Israel, he wasn't saying, I'm going to save you. Okay? He has a remnant. There's a remnant of Jewish people. And those are the believers in Jesus, the remnant right now in this church age. And actually, they were called the remnant in the Old Testament as well. Oh, okay. I just want to read 2 Samuel, and it's in just below the middle of your first page in the handout. It says, God spoke to King David. That's my word. God spoke to King David and said, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. Who will come from your body. So this is a physical descendant of King David. And I, God, will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and that's King Solomon. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I didn't put in verses 14 and 15, but I'm going to read them to you. I will be his father, God is saying, regarding Solomon, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, did King Solomon commit iniquity? Yeah, like big time, like we're all sinners. I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy to King Solomon and to his house, his kingdom, shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Then God goes back to talking to David. And your house, David, and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. So when I say God has made promises to Israel of the kingdom, we're seeing it here. We're seeing it in other places as well. Okay, and I thought one day, you know what? Saying that the kingdom isn't for Israel, that's an offense, not only to Israel, to the believers. Only Jewish believers will go into the kingdom, just like only Gentile believers will go into the kingdom. Get what I'm saying? This is one of the, this is a foundational truth.
Won't David. There be Jewish people going into the kingdom?
Only believers at the outset, okay? But remember, there are going to be people who have natural bodies who are going into the kingdom who are believers, and they will have children, okay? So there are going to be people, believers with resurrected bodies. There are going to be people, believers with natural bodies, and they're going to have children.
But at the judgment of the sheep and the goats.
Right.
Jesus talks about another group of people, these my brethren.
Oh, yes, those his brethren, yeah.
Yeah, those the Jewish remnant he has rescued and brought with him.
But remnant, they're still a remnant. Yeah, but he's applauding, he's hailing the sheep because they fed the remnant of his people, okay?
But my point is, if you're going to have a temple and priest, you have to have Jewish people, the Levites at least.
Oh, of course. Or Zadok is going to be the priestly line.
But they're also Jewish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure we don't think it's only Gentiles.
Right.
No, well, just like I'm saying, it's offensive to Jewish people, Jewish believers, to hear that the kingdom right now is something spiritual and not physical, a physical reality for the Jewish people. So definitely, I don't want you Gentiles, and how many of to think that I'm just saying Jewish believers are going to be in the kingdom. That was my point of emphasizing Gentiles. But here, what I just read from 2 Samuel 7, it's Jewish. The reason that there's going to be a millennial kingdom is to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? And that's important to know. So, but does anybody have questions about that? Probably, yeah, but...
Well, Paul was really clear in, I think it was Romans 8, saying that the Gentiles will be grafted into the vine.
Right, and that's 11. Yeah, Romans 11, right.
Branches have been broken off so that there's room for the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that it isn't we... The branches that support the vine, but the vine supports
the us. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's very. He made it very. As it's very clear to me throughout Scripture.
Right. And
what you're saying is absolutely.
It's
true.
Surprising that reading Romans 9, 10, and 11 that there are people who come away with saying that the church is now Israel.
They're just not reading
it. Yeah. 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 So that's why that's important. It is important to grasp. And you know what we're grafted into? Have you ever asked a Gentile believer, what have you been grafted into? If it gets on that topic, you know, what have you been grafted into? And some people will say, well, I'm Jewish now. That's not the answer.
It's a blessing portion to Christ.
Yes. It's the blessing. In fact, it's the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant, because the Abrahamic covenant promised land, promised the descendants for Abraham, physical descendants, promised the Messiah, promised the blessing. So turn to Galatians 3:14. And what are those blessings? Because I don't know about you, but there are some times when I come away reading passages, I get a little confused about the blessings. Right, but this is clear. It's clear as mud to some, I guess. But Galatians 3:14 says, okay, that the blessing of Abraham, that's how it starts off in Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So what is that blessing? And Paul lets it be known that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's salvation. Mm-hmm. That blessing is salvation, okay? It's not like, it's nothing about a lineage becoming Jewish. Or some people might say, well, I'm a spiritual Jew. Many Gentiles have said that to me, and I'll say the only spiritual Jewish person is Brittany here, because she's Jewish and she came to faith in Jesus. Okay, so that's important for us to grasp and moving ahead, because we're going to hear all kinds of things. In fact, I thought, if you haven't heard Jamie's sermon from last week, listen to it online. It was really good. Because he laced in, yeah, I emailed him, but he's on fall break. So, I mean, he's on study break, I should say that. And he said, right off the bat, he said, there is false teaching that's going around, you know. And it's even within the church, because that's what Peter was delving into when Jamie read from the second chapter of 2 Peter. That's Peter's message, that there's false teaching, so we need to beware within.
What about the Muslims who become believers?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are many...
Well, then, see, they're Gentiles. I'm putting them in the Gentile camp, okay? Because if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they'll
because be... Because there are not large but there are Coptic Christians.
Yeah, now those would be Egyptian.
I've met them in right. Egypt.
Right, exactly.
And they're believers.
But the key, Ruth Ann, the key is Jesus.
Yeah.
There's only one way, and yeah. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how we know that we are going to be in, be before God someday. And have to, even as believers, well, I won't get into it. No, it's just too, you know what I'm saying. Okay, so, now regarding, here's another verse about the kingdom now. It's right at the bottom of page one. Do you see what I why I said part one? It's Luke 1, 32 to 33. When Gabriel, it's Gabriel in action again, he comes to Mary and he speaks to her and tells her that she's going to have a son. He will be great, says Gabriel to Mary, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And I'm really thrilled that there is so much in Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 2. Those are the Christmas chapters, okay? All other than that, I'm so glad there are some in the Gospels, because we have the flow going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Nothing new happened. It was a fulfillment. Everything that we read in the Old Testament is a fulfillment of what God has already stated in the Old Testament. And that's so important. And you know what? I'm just going to throw out verses at you that are not in the handout, but I jotted them down yesterday. Because Jesus as our great high priest, how important that is to believers. He intercedes for us as our great high priest. I hear King Jesus. We don't sing about great high priest Jesus. I don't know if that would go musically, but it suits me. I'm so thankful that Jesus is our great high priest. And you find it in Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, Hebrews 7, 24 to 25, Hebrews 8, 1 to 2, Hebrews 9, 11 to 14, and I would say cross-reference from there, because there are other passages about him being our great high priest. And he will continue. He's going to be a priest forever. He is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Diane, you had a comment or question?
Well, it's just more of a question, but thinking about fulfillments a lot. Do we know the number of fulfilled New Testament prophecies?
It's funny you're mentioning that, because I heard someone. No, it's all over the place. I've heard like 333 New Testament prophecies specifically concerning Jesus' first coming. But the other day I heard, it might have been David Jeremiah, I'm not sure, but he said, or it might have been someone on the radio, a pastor, said there are 500 prophecies about Jesus' first coming that have been fulfilled. 500's a lot. And 500 prophecies about his second coming. But you know what? There are a lot. And he fulfilled them all as far as the first coming is concerned. So he hasn't fulfilled the second coming prophecies as yet. So it's not like, well, Jesus is done. You know, he's all good, and he's seated on the throne of David in heaven. That's not what I'm believing, okay? And I just want to make note of that. So in Matthew, I have Matthew 25:31, which gives that account that David was talking about when Jesus is judging the sheep and the goats. But I noted it's at the end of the tribulation that happens. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Okay. Oh, and Jesus is currently seated at the right hand, and I gave you those verses as well, the right hand of God. Please, please look them up. We're not going to have time to look all of them up, but I want to read one to you, okay? And that's in Hebrews 1, 3. It is, and if anyone has it before I turn to it, go for it in terms of reading it out loud.
He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high.
Amen. So that's where he is, and look how many other verses are written down, and then you can of course reference from there. He's at the right hand of God. Okay, so and we need to grasp the literal meaning always when we read scripture, and understand that there's one story, there's one God, and he is immutable, he doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. How many times have I told you that? I end it right there. I am the Lord, I change not. I would say for the most part of my believing life, I ended it there. And then when I was reading it again, I finished reading that verse, and it says, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because if he had not made a promise, all the promises that he made to Israel, if he had not made those promises and kept them, we see the flow of them through the Old Testament, then Jacob would be consumed. Jacob would be toast. Israel, Jacob being meaning Israel, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, they would be toast, because they continually, as a people group, they continually veered from God. What about the Gentiles? Same thing. Gosh, they were pagans. It's funny, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but in the Tuesday morning class, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we Gentiles come from pagan heritage, you know, or maybe heritage is too high and mighty, a lineage. But one of the leaders, table leaders, said, this is the first time I've ever heard that I'm a pagan. I'm from pagan roots. So, but it's true. It's just, it's a matter of piecing it all together and understanding the history of Israel, the history of the world, and God's promises to Israel. So that's where we're going to start next week. And I want to pick it up right now, other than to say, I'm not going to pick up on the covenants right now, it will be next week, but other than to say this, Christmas is Jewish. It really is. It really is. And I know some Gentile believers think that I flipped. I said, well, where do you find the verses, most of the verses about Jesus' incarnation, his taking on flesh, and being born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah? You find them in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. Okay? And they didn't, you know, they weren't exuberant about celebrating Christmas. Did you find anybody in the New Testament celebrating Christmas? Saying, oh gosh, it's time for me to get the cards and to get those presents wrapped. No, it's from the Hebrew scriptures. Did you know that, Brittany, before? Is that amazing? I love that. I love telling that to my Jewish friends and also to my Gentile friends as well. Well,
the first song we sang today,
yeah,
reminds me that is my all-time favorite Christmas song, and it makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
Because it's O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
Yeah.
It's like he came for them.
Yeah, exactly. But, and we can sing it, but do we understand it, and do we then say, I agree with it? But it's in Scripture. It's in Scripture, Al.
The chapel choir is going to put on an Advent service, coming up 23rd of this month.
Okay.
And, you know, well, it's music by Bach, and we've got one of the men in our church that has written, he's a composer and everything, he's written a whole program that the choir is going to sing.
Wow.
That talks about this. So I welcome you to come to the chapel And then a month later, we're having our Christmas program this year in the chapel. So keep on track of when that is, because the chapel sells out quick. There's only 250 seats.
Well, and how do we, it's October 23rd for the Advent? November, okay.
No, for the Advent, yes, it's October.
Okay, October
23rd. For the Advent.
Well, no, that can't.
I didn't grow up a Lutheran. I don't know about all that, but I listened to them talk, and I think it's in October when the first Advent starts, and there's so many weeks before that, and they celebrate the.
I think the Advent comes closer to.
It's 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's 6 weeks. Right. Okay, 6 weeks from Christmas.
Yeah.
So we'll have to look for it. Will it be? We don't have a bulletin, but I guess we have to look online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what are the dates again?
I'm not sure. Look in the. I think it's the 12th. I've got it on my phone. I left my phone in my truck. So.
Okay.
We're practicing this Wednesday night. And then the following Sunday, I think we're singing it.
Oh, good.
23rd.
Huh?
That would be the 20. Well, wait a minute. Sorry,
well,
no, it's beyond.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, gosh. Well, good. Take that handout home with you, and if you have occasion, read it, because that's where we be going next week. Not in depth about what we're going to do is not go into the covenants. I said we were going to go into covenants next week. I'm going to mention them, but we're going to look at the at Christmas from the Hebrew scriptures.
From what?
Okay. From the Hebrew scriptures. Christmas from the Hebrew scriptures. So that's good to tell your friends. We're studying Christmas from the Hebrew scriptures. And of course we are. You know, if somebody says, well, are you guys crazy? Of course we... No, we're not. We're not. So, Al, would you like to close us in prayer?
All right. Lord, this has been a great day together with my friends and with your word, God, as our foundation. Lord, we're so grateful for your promises and you're unchangeable. And we can take that to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We're so grateful for all that. So be watch over each one of us as we go our separate ways. And when there's opportunity to share your great love for each of us in specific ways, that's all we would do is tell our story about how great you are in our life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.